could, the average KV would make it okay, would be tantamount, and the specification would be the same thing as a number 5 jet fuel that commercial planes use, and some most government planes. A JP-5 and a JP-4 type of jet fuel is a naphtha, what we call refining naphtha, a gasoline type product. KV was used for many things, but one of the ultimate uses in later years was jet fuel for planes. And that's I was 24, back in 1 month, 25 years for those people. They were real nice people. I still keep in touch with the president, and he's a good friend of mine, and we get together once in a while. And,
what was the name of the company?
Eventually became the Central Air Company. I remember they had a name contest. They didn't like the Bachmann name. They were Germans, immigrants to this country. They fled Nazi Germany. Although they were Swiss German, they were in a certain social group that weren't acceptable for Hitler. That's a long, another long story, but they were very decent people, and they remained very good friends. Although I kept them in December 1958, I had a knock on the door, and another company wanted to go with them to buy a crew and exchange crew for them, be a supply man for crew oil, and somebody had sent them to me, and Bachmann wasn't doing well then, the Central Oil Company, and I knew that their element was either to change their method of operation or sell out or something, drive business. So when they made me the offer to do this other company, I decided to accept it. That's really a good feeling with the people, and so I worked for them. It was a newly formed company, organized and promoted by a man in New York, John Shaheen, and he ultimately sold his assets out to Altamar of London, a small international company, who also were undergoing the same experience that Bachmann did in 1933-34 and being a lot of oil. They were producers down in Venezuela. Had large production down there, and they lost their outlet. So they had to give them the findings to move their crew out. And so they brought him out, and I had about 13 years with them, and all series of events happened where the company itself is in New York and in London. They're very high class bunch of people. And I was doing quite a few things for them too. I was supply and exchange manager, and then they wanted to go into some exploration out here in the West with some of our ill-gotten gains from going with them. And so I got leases, and we went in with other people in wildcatting around the country. And so I attended the exploration meetings whenever I had them there. Chicago, New York, and Denver, Houston, Nevada, Los Angeles. And I remember before I left then, well, I left Dover, New York. As I say, the reason I left wasn't to company itself, it was the two people who were superior to me that I had maneuvered to. I was planning to eliminate my a stock option deal, which was, oh, my, worth quite a bit of money. And I felt I didn't need anybody to know me, so at that point, 1972, I had a call from president of the Signal and Gas Company, who I'd known for many years. In fact, I'd known him when he was number two plant for San Jose on Freeman Avenue, south of 20th Street there. And he was to be president of that sort of company. They were all his big friends. I'd never done a dance for him, but... So he called me up one day and says, hey, he says, why don't you come up and help us with me? And says, I understand you're kind of unhappy. He heard the rumblings of shooting industry. And I said, well, if you want to meet us, this is my office. And so we had cable lunch in his office. And so he was moving to Houston and most of the crew that they had locally here would be in the Long Beach office, and he was sending a couple of young men down there to handle the crude oil supply and exchange, but they weren't really crude oil people, they were product people. And would I take a one-year contract for him, a consulting contract, to be a lean post for him and an advisor to just keep my eye on things and guide them? Well, I was unhappy and I didn't have anything coming from this other company. I was already too old for their retirement system, and I went to work for them. They had a very generous retirement system, just off of my bunch. Very reasonable people that way, but... So I said, well, if you allow me certain other prerogatives, he said, you know, buying, I want to get into private buying and selling crude oil on my own. But he said that we incorporate that in a letter of agreement, assuming there won't be a conflict of interest with Signal and Gas. Well, I said, that'd be easy to find. You're not looking for any crude oil. And he said, we're not looking. We're looking to move our crude oil to the best advantage. That was back when they thought it was going to be a critical time for worldwide supplies, and so we wrote such a letter, and I was within 3.5 years, and a year and a half. The contract extended a half year, but because of another matter, it came back to one to stay another half year. By that time, I had made some deals, and I stayed in the same office I had rented it from him then, and it was completely on my own, because my search was in the terminal, there wasn't any more need for that. And I stayed there, well, 2 more years after that, year and a half, and I had my best years over it for 5 years or so, until we had purchased this home I had up in the mountains, and I was very fond of up there, and so was my wife, and we decided maybe we ought to try to do my business from up there and come down here occasionally and keep up. We didn't drive both the two roads. We went up there and we were there another 5 years. And it worked out fairly good, but not, I wasn't as successful because I was out of mind. But I was doing enough to rent during coming down, and my wife enjoyed coming down, seeing her friends, and we lived out next door here. We showed our place in Poverty Flats, and moved to this apartment, this duplex right next door here. And we enjoyed living there, and it was close to the club, it was close to my office, and go down here and so we
you have to explain on the tape about why you call that poverty flats.
Well, it was a poor area, and people asked me, well, I love all poverty flats. What about the lots? The area, Mr. Spelling is planning to make on. He said, well, son, he said, you can put anything you want to on the back of this lot, long as you don't set it right in the back there, until you can try to do something better. That was 7 years before we built that place. And that's just what people did in the area we were in, on 53rd Street there. So the area never developed into a real nice residential area. People did that and lived in for the rest of that, many of them. Well, the same way rather than improved. And people out there were more or less in the lower middle class or even less. And there wasn't that reason why we moved by there. Well, in the way it was because of our constant burglaries we had in that place, and then there were coin collectors, and the life became real upset about each other, right to be in. So I said, well, you don't have to live here. I said, what's going on this other job? I said, let's sell the place and rent until we decide to use a place in the mountains. We just bought the place up in the mountains, that's just what we did. It's never improved, that area where we were, and it's not a good area. And she was happier down here, and we were having a problem. And then when I came back to Long Beach to relocate a couple of years, maybe 2 years ago, I told my former landlord, Manley, they were lovely people, they were so nice to us. I was looking for another place, and I wanted this section for jogging and walking this good, nice, quiet area, appreciated streets, messing, and close to the clubs, and real convenient. So I was down at the Cloud Motel down here on one of my trips, and he called me and said, place across the aisle, I think, is available. And he said, so I came over the next morning and rented the place. Went back up and moved down a week later. And I'm glad I moved where I did because it was handy.
You said your office was near here, too. Where did you have an office?
In the Signal Oil and Gas Company's Long Beach office. It was the original office of Hancock Rock Company. Hancock had sold out to Signal, and Century had too, the people I was with sold out to them, because they wanted more land for expansion, which they never did. They brought the real estate to a thing out of it, industrial area there, and that's where it was. And I think the state, it's a state agency now. I think the state has it under lease, some agency of the state government. Very, very good building. We have real comfortable, quiet, well insulated building where the acoustics really good.
Where is it?
On the corner south east, no, northeast corner of Homeworth and Hemiplow, one of them. I like that too. I enjoyed my work, working out of there. Good service to our clients, secretary, and all that. It's an ideal location. We probably shouldn't move the mountain, except we both like it, and elevation gives me a lot of energy. I energize in the higher altitudes. Really, maybe I trip South America from there, and we had a big long trip down there, going also out to the Galapagos Islands and Easter Island, and I went about 2.5 months down there.
What all did you do for
Signal
Oil and Gas?
Did I say that?
Yeah, when you worked for them.
Well, I would say it was just an advisory capacity for these people who had sent down landers. Really, it wasn't that big a show, frankly. The principal objective we had to solve within a short time. It wasn't any problem. It might have been for those fires, actually, I had more time for my own activities than I had to spend for them, but I had that prerogative. But I had a conscience, too, and I was accepting a very substantial consultant's fee from them. And I thought, I'm really not producing a thing from other than good public relations, because I do have a lot of people in the industry. And they were, at that time, still accepting submitted for doing proposals and seeking energy of our clients, as all other companies were at the time. And so I decided, well, am I running around the valley and all over the country and over in Dallas and even the Salt Lake, because I have a contact over there with the L'Oreal company I used to be business with, so called Newberg. And so I decided I ought to produce something for them to compensate for my lack of production of them. It just wasn't anymore to do. That was when the first year I was in. That's why the extension was 6 months. So I went on to a deal in, well, I went on several deals in California, which I submitted to the exploration department, and it's so appreciated. And but the one deal that capped off of the last time we were in Utah, I had a friend over there that had an interest in and a hold on 75 acres of oil sands out near Vernon, Utah. And when I heard about it, I went over there just personally to see it. And the middle of the winter it was. And I was quite impressed with it, because it was about 3,000 acres of land that was, a good deal of it was right on surface, just a matter of scooping it up. Of course, I didn't, the main problem of him, that kind of thing, but that's the production problem, getting the raw material. Although much of it also had about a 20-foot overburden, but that wasn't sure, it was ordinary topsoil and not difficult to remove. So about that time, Signal had employed a man from Gary Air Company, a physicist and a train driver, an engineer, who was employed to seek out energy sources other than liquid fossil fuels. In other words, coal, shales, oil sands, geranium, all other, even we got it on a silver mining field down in Mexico, I remember. And so I brought that deal to him, and he was all excited about it. He said, "Yes, this is just the thing I'm hard for. It's just the thing we're looking for." So I got the kid together, found the fellow in Utah, and somehow I got me finding what he was doing. And I don't know what they subsequently did with it. I signaled his own soul to Burma, and on and I took it over, and all his fellow disappeared, and I lost track of it. But I did put them in touch with a tremendous reserve of shale oil. I don't know if they've even developed it yet, but it's there. And a lot of it needs to be to also shale, a lot of shale over in the same general area. This is Utah and Western Colorado. Tremendous reserves of it. Since then, my friend West President died, the best lecturer. And I don't know, of course, took a signal. Access as far as from the signal companies, there's still a signal company that it's not an oil company, or they sell a petroleum asset. So, first Burma, and then Burma, part British government owned, was forced to sell some years ago because they had suffered a very downturn in their fortunes, principally because of, I think, overinvestment and overextension in the tanker business at the time. They were deeply in debt, so the British government had them sell all the U.S. assets, which were passed around here, the sold for Amanal, which, you know, runs tobacco company. By the way, the one book, the deal that went on to the book Bonanza, written. It's a really a history of Union Oil Company of California. We went on to that one. I have a copy of that thing. It was mostly a history of Union Oil background, the Lyman Street family, and their experiences in Pennsylvania and on out there. You know all about that thing.
Well, I don't know all about it, but I know about the book.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing that I'm confused about as I've been listening to you talk is the relationship between Golden Eagle and Ultramar.
Oh, yes, I should really sequence on that. At the time, Golden Eagle was such fun as a better work for them. It had just, the assets they had, which was a refinery at Carson, in Carson, California, that had formerly belonged to Sunset International Petroleum Company. Sunset International was a subsequent result of the old Julian thing that goes way back. That refinery was built by Julian about 1923-24, the topping plant over there, because he couldn't sell his oil. He built the refinery, he was going to put Stein oil out of business. So, but anyway, it developed. So their assets were that refinery and the terminal at Wilmington Harbor, where the bunker ships and brought in foreign crew and bunker ships and so forth, and the Signal Hill storage and pipeline system, and a network of pipelines connecting the harbor and the refinery and all. So, John Shaheen, a promoter in New York, raised the money and brought those assets from Sunset International. About a year and a half later, after I worked for them, He sold out his assets for Ultimar stock. Became, it was for a short time then, still spoke to Ultimar as far as the Little Nuclear operation was concerned. The American Ultimar was in New York. And they were the operating arm of a board of directors in London, with the British company, who had invested, as I said, in South America. They were desperate to move their crew out. So Shaheen sold out to them, and we still stay with Greater Nuclear Holding and subsidiary Ultimar. They eventually expanded. They've been a very successful company. Shaheen was strictly a promoter, but they bought some assets from him. One of them was a concession for a refinery, small refinery in Newfoundland Island. They eventually built one. And they eventually built a plant at Quebec. And they recently bought out Beacon Oil Company up in Hanford, California. And they're in the international production again. They have a big asset in Indonesia and they're in the North Sea. They've been very successful. I would have stayed with them if it hadn't been for the two bandits I was working with. They were surprised when I left, but as long as they see fire there, I didn't move in as bad as they needed me, so there wasn't a point in my taking it. But I have a high respect for the Ultimar people. And I see them once in a while, I get their annual statements, but it's a very successful company. Shaheen happens to own control of McMahon with Huntington. McMahon runs the oil company, a plant in Eldorado, Arkansas, Northrop, Arkansas, which is more successful than this tea kettle down here. But Shaheen's in trouble. He built a plant also on Newfoundland Island through the province of the Mission Finance, about 90% of it, but he didn't know a lot of the money. He's a terrific promoter, and not as one might sometimes diagnose the word promoter. He wasn't crooked, fellow, but he just didn't know a lot of the money. He was very unsatisfactory administrator. Get something promoted and built and running, you should forget about it and turn it over to somebody that knew how to manage finances. For example, when he built the $100,000 plant on Newfoundland Island at a place called Come By Chance, is the name of the area, not too far from where Ultimar had built the small $15,000 oil plant. But that's been very successful, the small plant. Anyway, when he finished it, he chartered the Elizabeth II, the big British thing, to take 1,000 people up to the opening of his plant. That was a couple million, no, it wasn't a couple million, it was more like a little over $1 million. He didn't have that kind of money to raise, he just spent that time and needed that for working capital. A year, 1.5 years later, he was on the rocks, and it's shut down now, it wasn't operating. A wonderful guy, he sent me to Mexico on a mission in early 50s for 7 months, 6 months in 59, they were negotiating with the Torres Mexicanos for a deal down there. And when I first met him, he first came out, after they employed me, he told me he wanted to go to Mexico and told me what to close him. I said, well, I'd be very happy to do that, but I said, we explained the deal to him, and I said, you know, that is the kind of deal that's going to have to kind of wind up in the hands of a real large company, Wahoo and Sausage. But he said, no, you go down there. I said, we don't make that deal. We've already had a fellow moving, going down there, a salesman, a real high-pressure salesman, a real capable man, not as selling anything is concerned. But we live in New Mexico, and so he wanted me, this fellow had been going down there,